Welcome in, everybody. It is another episode of Inside Boxing, presented by PPV.com, Yahoo Sports, Uncrowned Network. I am Dan Canobio. He is the champ, Chris Algieri. Fight week is here. Brooklyn, New York, Saturday night. Xander Zayas putting up two belts at 154 versus Jerome Boots Ennis. A few steps away, our pre-fight party, McMahon's Public House. Tickets are on sale right now. $20 secures you a drink. Secures you a handshake with Chris Algieri. I'll even take a selfie with you. We've done these parties in the past. They are a blast. We've done them in New York City. Now we're taking it to Brooklyn. Come hang out with us before, during, and after Zayas versus Boots. Chris plans to tie one on, as they say. Hello, Chris.
No, I don't. I don't. Oh, I don't plan to tie one on. I have a. I have an early flight the next day, but I'm still going to be hanging out late. So don't fret. We'll be hanging out like usual. We'll be good.
What is your itinerary? I didn't even ask you. When are you getting into town?
I got some stuff to do tomorrow, so I'm coming. I'm on Friday, so I'm going to come in late Friday night.
Wow.
And then I'll be in
stealth.
Yeah. In and out. Like a ninja. See my family on Friday, come into Brooklyn, stay over Saturday night in Brooklyn, and then fly out Sunday morning to L.A.
L.A.? What's going on in L.A.?
We got a big
press. What's going on in your life, man?
We got a big press event for Pro Box TV announcing a couple fights we got coming up in July 18th, and then August 29th. We talked about that on the last show, a big Lester Martinez fight. Talking about some of the changes that are happening with Pro Box, $5 subscription, what you get with the $5, the fact that, you know, we're offering a lot more now. So it'll be a good informative press event.
Coastal. Coast to coast. Bi-coastal. Algeria.
Bi-coastal. Yeah.
Bi-coastal. So Brooklyn, Saturday, going to be a great one. That's the predominant theme of our episode here. Our preview. It's Zayas versus Boots. It's finally here. I think it's one of the biggest fights on the boxing schedule. We've had a little bit of a slow time between big fights, but it's here, and it's going to be a big one. We'll go through it all. We'll go through some stats. I have our FanDuel segment, a little fact or fiction, but I want to lay the groundwork here. This is Boots' second fight at 154 pounds. This is Zayas' third title event. This is the 15th fight for Xander Zayas above 150 pounds. Yeah. And that started as a teenager because he was signed by Top Rank, what, 16?
16.
16 years
old. Their youngest signee at the time, I believe. I think they sign anybody else younger since then?
Recently signed a younger guy.
Yeah, he was the youngest at the time.
And to see where he is now at 23, making the second defense of his 154-pound titles. Well, first, how does that work? First defense of one of them, second defense of the other, whatever. It is a unified title fight. It's his third title fight at 23.
First defense as unified champion.
There you go. And there's just a little difference there between, I feel like, and this is something that Zayas talked about on Ariel Helwani's show, part of the Uncrowned Network, that Zayas believes that he has been fighting way tougher opponents than Boots, despite being 7 years younger. He says Boots has been hiding out in Philly. You look at his first 20 fights, they were against guys not even trying to beat him, whereas Zayas says that for my last, like, 15 fights, they've been against guys that have been trying to take food off my table, trying to remove me from my goals. I found that to be pretty interesting.
I mean, and there is some credibility to what he's saying. You know, it's always easy to look from the outside in and pick apart a guy's record. Boots came up a different way than Xander. They came up in different ways. Both have big amateur backgrounds. Both are very good. Both came in, started young, but look how much ground that Zayas has covered in the short amount of time he is. He's only 23 years old and he's unified champion. You know, Boots unified at 47, but has since, you know, had a lot of layoffs, a lot of delays. Now fighting at 54, where, you know, he definitely belongs. 47 was killing him. But this is that all might not matter. That's the whole point about all of this. And we're gonna talk about so many different factors. And I'm glad you mentioned the fact that this is Boots' only second fight at 54, where Zayas has the definitive advantage in terms of experience there. But again, it might not matter because of the way these guys match up. And we're going to get into that in a bit.
Yeah. The talent of Boots is what we've been talking about for weeks now. This guy, we got to see what he does in the gym. you know, he just has otherworldly talent. I read Gary Antoine Russell did a little bit of a breakdown of this fight, and I always like to hear what boxers have to say. And he's like, Boots' talent will bring him, will have him win this fight. He picked Boots to win. And he basically said he does stuff in the ring that you would just never teach and that only he could do. Like a little bit of that Roy Jones type of style in there where you're punching from awkward angles. You're doing stuff that only, like, with raw athleticism. And that's what we've seen from Boots over the course of his career, just not against the top-tier talent. Punch stat-wise, Boots throws 63 punches per round. 25 of those are jabs, so he is a power-punching 154-pounder, predominantly throws those hooks and those crosses, does have a good jab, connects on 33% of his overall punches, 41% power. What I like here is the body work. 30% of Boots' landed punches are to the body. That's how you're going to have to slow down Zayas. Went back and watched the Barao fight again. This guy is just perpetual motion, not in and out, a lot of side to side. So I think
it's a lateral, step arounds, lateral. He slides out to that left side, which is good for it's also why he gets hit with right hand so much. He slides out to his left side a lot, which is the weak side for a southpaw, which Boots predominantly fights southpaw. So he's going to slide out to that side. Barao hit him with a bunch of right hands because of that. He slips out to that side. But yeah, it's a lot of angle cut, turn, a lot of turning. And when he needs to, he will get up on his toes and circle the entire ring and take walks, which you need to do as a boxer who does not have a lot of power.
Yeah, if you go look at the Barao fight, he really outworked Barao. He threw 750 punches to Barao's 611. Every round he outthrew him.
And Barao put on a ton of pressure. And it was one of those fights where you're watching, it's like, well, if Xander can't keep this up, Barao's going to break him. But eventually it was actually Barao that fell off. And he looked kind of like toward the end, like, this kid's got too much for me right now.
Have you seen any of the pre-fight, stare downs and stuff where you can see, like, all right, Zayas is definitely getting closer to 154 compared to what I saw him at the press conference 2 months ago?
The first presser, it looked like they were three-way classes apart. Now they look like, you know, Xander's a little bigger, but it's more frame than anything. Xander's body has changed quite a bit in the last 2 months.
He's more active, too. I mean, this is now, he won the title in July. He defended it won one of the titles in July. He won another one. The Barao fight was in January. Now he's fighting again in June. So that's three fights in a calendar year, or not calendar year, but 12 months. And that's pretty good. I mean, that's what we want out of our champs. And in terms of staying on weight, I know he does balloon up there. Boots, we'll see on Friday when they step on the scale.
He does stay in the gym, though. But Xander's one of those guys. He's perpetually in the gym. He's a gym rat. Which Boots is, too.
Boots in the gym. You can make a t-shirt. Yeah. Got to make a shirt, Boots in the gym, because that's what it is.
They're going to send you a royalty check for that one, I hope.
I'm just looking forward to one way or another. Like, if Boots wins, like, it's his best win. And he has something that he could, you know, he's a two-belt champ. And I just hope he gets the credit. We'll get to that in a second. Jumping a little ahead here.
I think on Sunday, we're going to have a major, major player in the sport. And a young player, a face that we can really hang our hat on as American boxing fans. Like, we're going to have a American star, even though Xander is from Puerto Rico. It's like, he's still American. He's still one of ours. So it would be great to have, either way on Sunday. As long as we get
a definitive
win, but also nothing funky happens. Like, I don't want to jinx it, but like, I know, like, a no contest, something crazy like that.
Oh, man.
Which would be,
that'd be Boots.
Horrible.
That would be a Boots thing. Like a long series of unfortunate events in his career, but
like as if his career is snake bitten, like something bad could happen.
Oh, not that that's ever happened to him in the ring, but it's just like out of the ring stuff has been
pretty
brutal for him. Zayas throws 63 punches around, throws a little more jabs than Boots, 28 jabs per round. So both guys are more power punching than they are throwing jabs. 32% overall, 41% power. So they're pretty similar in terms of the stats, even though they fight way different styles. Big thing here from Zayas, Chris. Opponents land just 16% of their total connects. That's his last five opponents. That's huge.
That's because of his length and footwork. He doesn't have to engage. Very similar to how I fought when I was at 140. I didn't have to engage with guys. I didn't get hit a lot because, listen, if I didn't want to fight with you 50-50, I didn't have to. Xander doesn't either because his footwork, his long jab. And I was going to say this about their jabs. Even though they have similar numbers, they're very different jabs. Xander looks to land his jab. Xander looks to punish you at times with a jab. He uses an offsetting jab. Booch uses a range-finding jab because he just wants to close the distance, get in, and beat the hell out of you with both his hands once he gets inside. He uses it more to close the distance, get to that power-punching position where he can let his hands go, whereas Xander will actually throw a jab that can do damage, that it's going to score points, and then he rips his combinations off that. He, too, is also a combination puncher, but they're both completely different kinds of punchers.
Yeah.
Xander is not a puncher. Boots is a puncher. He hits hard with both hands, and he's looking to hurt you with both his shots, whereas Xander is looking to domesticate you, keep you on the outside, keep you from being able to land, sweet science, hit, don't be hit. Not necessarily looking to do damage at the highest level. Like we saw in the Barao fight, I think he clipped Barao a few times. He got his respect enough in the middle rounds, but he never was trying to go in for the kill. Boots always goes in for the kill.
Yes. And the fact that Boots can throw 63 punches around and be a puncher, that's pretty impressive. That is really impressive. That's a high rate. I mean, 63, like in today's age, where fighters throw routinely in 30s, mid-30s, 40s, zero combination punching in boxing, to see two fighters throw 60-plus, and especially Boots' style, where he does have a lot of knockouts, he is a puncher. Body work of Boots, the lateral movement and defense of Zayas, the 16%, I mean, that's absurd. That's like Bivol Shakur numbers.
Yeah.
Not saying opponents.
Boots is one of those guys, like he does best when he's in prolonged exchanges because he can throw power. Like a lot of guys, they'll throw a combination. And if say you throw a 5-6 punch combination, which as fight fans are like, oh, it's almost like you're playing a video game. Oh yeah, throw a 6 punch combination. Yeah, most guys' power definitively drops off after about 3 punches. So then 4, 5, and 6 are kind of like, not Boots. Boots is in the pocket, letting his hands go. He fights like he's a rolling boulder down a hill. He gets more powerful as he goes within those extended combinations. That's why going 50-50 with him, bad idea. Bad idea, because he's going to hit you just as hard with the last shot as the first shot.
Yeah, that's why I think Zayas is going to, that movement is going to be very, very key. Crucial for him.
Key.
Very crucial. And people talk about Boots' defense. The metrics are good. 32%, I think, opponents land, which is pretty average for 154, 147. He does have those moments, though, where we've seen him get clipped only because, like you just said, you throw a 5-punch combination, that means you're in the pocket for what? Your speed is. You're in the pocket, and you're going
to
get clipped.
That's why you don't see combination punches anymore. Guys aren't willing to take the risk to get hit. Because, listen, when you get to the highest level, it takes one good shot. And these guys have tons of good shots with good both sides, both hands. So you don't see a lot of high level guys throwing combinations these days because of the risk involved. Because you're gonna get touched, and if you're not confident in your chin, or if you just don't want to get hit at all, you don't see guys throwing combinations like that. These guys both throw combinations, and Boots is so willing to engage because he has such a speed and power advantage, and he believes in his chin. Have we ever seen Boots rocked? Have we ever really seen him? No, he's never been hurt. He's never been rocked. He gets hit, definitely gets hit because of what you said, because his willingness to engage. Also, his footwork a little bit. He tends to trot inside with a little worry. And there are times where I've seen him, and this could be related to the weight, but it seems like he switches off a little bit, where he gets a little, I don't know if it's focus or distraction or boredom. It's something in there that sometimes you'll see him switch off just a little bit, and he'll get touched more than he should. But I think a lot of that just comes from, like I said, the weight. One being at 47, no one could bother him. Nothing. If you can't bother him, if you can't get his attention, if you can't get his respect, he's not going to respect you, and he's going to walk you down. He's going to walk through your shots.
Yeah.
You know, so like I think that's part of it. So at 47, guys couldn't hurt him. At 54, I don't know if people can hurt him. Xander's probably not the guy who's going to be able to hurt him. You never know. Anybody can hurt anybody, but I don't see Xander hurting Boots either.
Yeah, Xander's got to win with boxing. Yes. He's got to fight the fight of his life. So I'm trying to like path a victory for both guys, and the path for Zayas is grueling. It's a path. It's a daunting path because he has to score. He has to throw 60, 70 punches around. He has to use the lateral movement. He has to get the respect of Boots. It's a lot of things he has to do where Boots, like according to Gary Antoine Russell, not that he's the end-all be-all, but like can get away with some mistakes. Can use God-given talent, has the power edge, has the speed edge. you know, the more I think about this, the more I'm leaning Boots.
Yeah, we'll give our predictions a little bit. I was just doing a lot of tape review before I sat down here. And I don't want to say anything prior to us going on air, so it would be live. But saw some things.
Well, we are a pro-Zayas podcast, so people are going to be either shocked or are going to be like, you know what?
We're going to reaffirm
their yeah. thoughts. There are the punch stats, because I want to play a little fact or fiction here with Zayas in Boots. Fact or fiction, the winner of this fight will enter the pound-for-pound list.
Only depends on the performance, and I don't think it would be Zayas. Even if Zayas wins, unless he goes
really?
Out, I mean, again, depends on the performance. Yeah, I think it would take because listen, afterwards everyone's just gonna go, Boots was overrated, he was overhyped, you know. I don't think they're gonna give Zayas.
Both sides are gonna say that.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I think the respect for these guys that they deserve for beating each other, I don't think they're gonna get it. Which is super unfortunate, but that's just the way the boxing media swings. But Boots, if Boots goes out there and he either dominates or blows him out, yeah. Now you're like, all right, because of the skill set of Boots, because of how much everyone talks about Boots, because of the lore of Boots in the gym and everything, all the guys who speak him, yeah, he's going to enter. I think Xander's going to have to prove some more before he's really discussed and, you know, deep into pound for pound. And even really for me, pound for pound after the top six, it's so funky, it's so murky, it's just like meh.
It's like, who had the most recent win?
Yeah, that with pound for pound, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, it's 100%. But that's 1 through 10, that's all of it. But I think when we talk about 6 through 10, it's like those, like, you care less when you start talking about
like eight. Like, I could see if Boots wins, I could see him creeping in maybe 9. Like,
yeah,
Collazo.
No, I could see him breaking into 10. I could see it.
Yeah, Navarrete obviously has been around longer than Boots and has.
But do you think Zayas breaks in? I don't.
I think that's such a big win. It's huge,
but
it gets him.
It's definitely the biggest of his career, and definitely like a huge upset too.
It's a big upset. I don't know. For a list that I don't put a lot of credence in, I'm thinking about it a lot more. I think that both guys would be in the right at the edge. Like,
I think it really depends on the performance too.
Like, Nakatani's in there, Haney's 8, Collazo is 9. He just had a win, but like, I feel like he's in there because, all right, let's get a lower weight guy in there. It's like that's what I mean about the pound for balance. It's like politics. And then you have Navarrete, who I definitely deserve it. Navarrete belongs on this list.
He's in at number 10, right? He just got in.
He has been on here for a while. He should have been on here a while ago.
He's a freak, especially to do it at his age in that weight class.
Yeah,
and the way he does it. Yeah, and the way he does it.
Crazy. Fact or fiction, Zayas will bully Boots inside of the ring, because Zayas said that's what he's going to do.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
fiction.
Not.
Fiction.
Full fiction. Boots is too strong, especially in the inside. His balance is too good. And Xander, I did a full breakdown on my notes here, like I always do for the big fights, and he just doesn't have the inside chops, Xander. To bully Boots.
Interesting comments from Zayas, because he's saying a lot. He's not doing a lot of interviews, but when he does his interviews, he's supremely confident. Expect that. I was a little surprised when I read that one, because...
Well, is he playing chess? Is he doing the old Bernard Hopkins? I'm going to come right at you, and then you out there in your box, like, oh, I'm going to bully him, and I'm just going to box on my feet the whole night.
I would be very silly if Zayas came straight forward.
He's young. He's 23. He likes to fight. He's Puerto Rican. He's got a lot to prove. He's going to be under the lights in the Barclays Center in the main event. Dude, I've been there. It's a different world. It is a different world stepping into the main event of a huge stadium like that in New York. I mean, you're going to have, it's not like you're the favorite. You're actually the underdog. And
he's going to have the crowd behind him, though.
He is going to have the crowd behind him, but there's going to be a very vociferous Philadelphia crowd there as well.
Nice
and
work.
Thank you. That's going to be a rough room to perform in.
Well, Zayas says that he has the experience. I was signed at 16. I had eyeballs on me at a young age. But I think Boots has fought in front of bigger crowds.
I mean, I don't know. That's like a numbers thing. But I think in terms of... like, how much is on the line? I think Xander has a lot of experience with that. That last fight was that was big. You know, that Brow fight, and Brow gets overlooked. He is a really tough customer. That was a really good
win for
Xander. Very, very good win. Brow's tough. I think Brow gives everybody trouble. He's super durable. He's relentless. He can punch. He's a tough guy to deal with. He's a champion for a reason. So, you know, there's that. You know, that there was a lot on the line for that. Like, Xander loses that fight. He loses his title. He loses his opportunity to be a unified champ. Really, where does his career go if he had lost to Brow? There was a lot on the line for that.
A lot. It was a calculated move from Brow, who upset Taez at the time to get that shot. And it was elevated after Jermell Charlo inactivity. Speaking of Brow, fact or fiction, Brow would be Boots' best win.
Yeah. Yes. Fact.
I agree.
I think that'd be a fun fight too, because Brow's willingness to engage and the pressure that he puts, that's how he fights. He comes and he fights. And then you got Boots, who is a high contact fighter, a pressure fighter himself. They're going to meet in the center of the ring, and it's going to be just like two bulls locking horns. And I think we'd really get to see Boots on full display in that kind of fight. That'd be a fun fight.
So one
we'll probably never see.
Are you saying that we're not going to see Boots on full display Saturday night because of Zayas's movement?
No, I'm going to say we're not going to get as much
like a Rock'em Sock'em.
No, and if it is, the fight's going to be real short. I don't think we're going to. I don't think Zayas is
not going to do that. Zayas ain't going to do that. No. Fact or fiction? Fight will go the distance.
I'm not. You know what? If I answer that, it's giving away. It's giving away the prediction.
The prediction?
Yeah.
People can fast forward. This isn't radio. They can fast forward. I think it goes the distance.
You do?
Yeah. It's part of my bet. I have a great parlay coming up in a second. After the break. Stay with us on Inside Boxing. Fact or fiction, Boots will get credit if he beats Zayas. Fact or fiction.
I already said. Listen, he's got two belts now. So that's credit enough. That's he's got hardware.
But
so there's credit there.
But 23-year-old.
Yes.
But Zayas wasn't ready. But Zayas hadn't beat anyone. So no, Boots, I don't care about your two belts. You're still not better than Fundora. You're still not better than some of the guys at 154. That's not me, guys. That's not me.
Yeah, right.
Those are Sunday morning quarterbacks that will be there on Twitter should Boots win demonstratively on Saturday night.
Clip that so when that does come out, you can be those guys will, they're going to come out. Those crickets will start chirping when this fight ends.
How do we even gauge this too? I hate this. I'm falling prisoner to something that I even hate. It's like, how do we even, like, Boots will get credit. Like, some will give him credit and some won't. That's just the nature of sports. It's the nature of boxing Twitter, nature of Twitter in general. You're going to find both sides of the aisle. I just hope whoever wins gets the credit. If Zayas wins, I want him to be like, wow. I want people to be like, that's one of the best wins in recent memory in boxing, considering his age and inexperience in terms of top talent and all that. If Boots wins, I really don't want to hear anything about the asterisks. I don't want to hear anything about Zayas because he's definitely worthy. We'll see. We'll see on Sunday morning, which should be really fun.
Did you see Roy Jones? I forgot. Maybe he was on – it might have been the Ward podcast, Andre Ward's podcast.
Well, he has a show with Ward.
Oh, maybe it was that then, but it was with Ward. Regardless, he asked him. I was like, "Oh, is this too soon?" And Roy was like,
"Too soon?
No, he's a two belt champion. You got to fight." And it was spot on. Once you win a title, there is no cherry picking anymore. You have to fight the best. If you're a champion, you got to be willing to fight. I don't care how old you are. You can be 20 years old. Doesn't matter. You got to fight who's out there. You got to fight the top contenders. You got to fight the guys who earned the spot. There is no tiptoeing around once you're champion.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And that's one thing I like about Zayas here is that he is saying all the right things. He is, I became a champion, therefore I have to fight the best. Like, shocked. I was shocked when this fight got made because I thought for sure Zayas is going have a little bit of a softer defense, you know, but he's got two titles now.
Well, his first defense was against a world champion and a very tough one in Barao.
Yeah.
So the kid's not taking any easy steps. I was super impressed because, listen, his title-winning effort, the guy he fought was, no one to speak of, picking up a vacant title. But then his first defense, he went right to a tough guy who was also a champion. I mean, expert moves by him and his management. So
Peter Kahn.
Peter Kahn, that's the guy making great moves with Xander his entire career.
His
did great
career.
Work with Kambosos before the fallout. But yeah, there's they have been very calculated. But also, I will say this, and I'm saying this from personal experience. I've been in fight meetings with Xander. This kid has wanted all the smoke for years. He has been calling out the best guys around. He's been calling out Fandora for at least 3 years.
That's like, great.
He's like, He goes, I see something in him. I can beat him. I see something in Boots. I can beat that guy. And listen, they speak with conviction, and they actually put their money where their mouth is and put their belts on the line. That's aces to that kid. Super respect.
One thing I will say is that Sunday morning in Zeiss did not come out on top. I really hope it doesn't get like written off. I hope that depending on how the fight goes down, if it gets blown out in like two rounds, obviously there's going to be some hard questions from him and from all of us. But if it's a close decision, which I think it's going to be, like, I don't want to see that. I hope that he gets right back in there. I hope that he's still looked at as top five, because we, once again, one of the biggest things in boxing is we want our guys to take these risks. And then I see a lot of times when they do take the risk and they lose, you kind of a little bit of a writing off happens, you know, a little bit of the shine comes off.
Unfortunately, our sport does that, and it's a shame. We're seeing less of that, I feel like, because we are seeing a lot of these young guys taking risks and being able to recover. But I think Xander, regardless of how this goes, I don't think he stays at 54. I think he moves up to 160.
I guess you can, if you lose and you move up to a new weight class, it's almost like a new fresh start, like we're seeing with Teofimo.
100%. Especially for a guy like Xander.
I think if you
win, he's 23. So like he could completely rebuild his career and be a world champion again by 28. And like you're
That's
still in
5 years too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think if he wins though, I think he might stick around.
If he does and he goes for another top dog like a Fandora or a Virgil,
he might as well at that point just keep going and just keep making the big fight, and by that point he's going to have even more popular, even bigger in Puerto Rico, like
more
even
experience.
More leverage. Mm-hmm. So
more confidence. You beat a guy like Boots. Like, come on, like I'm taking on all comers now.
It's the thing for Boots absolutely. Too. Boots wins. He's now unified. He has more leverage. He has a bigger name. That Virgil Ortiz fight hopefully becomes more doable. Who knows?
Oh, man, remember we were talking about that so much. We felt like it was so close.
Well, they got the damn ring together.
That feels so far away, right?
Was that this year? No, it was last year.
That was like a decade
end
ago.
End of last year. Virgil Ortiz's last fight was this year or last year? I can't even remember.
No, it was last year.
Yeah, it was definitely last year.
Definitely last year.
Like November-ish of last year. And now he's in litigation. Yeah,
but I did see that him and Oscar are talking. There was articles Dude, coming out about that.
There's a flow chart of Oscar De La Hoya prominent fighters on their Golden Boy. It's the same freaking flow chart.
Yeah,
it's sue him or one guy threatens to leave or tries to make a fight. Oscar sues him. They say they're going to leave the contract. They kiss and make up at least publicly, and then they move on with each other.
Good thing is, though, that the guys that you're alluding to, Canelo and Ryan, are both doing quite well in their careers.
That's what I mean. That's another thing, too. It's like, you know, Oscar has these contracts, and they seem pretty ironclad because he seems to win them.
And he never seems to worry either.
Right. Like he's been down this road before. He did it with the biggest fighter in the world, Canelo. Although Canelo did get out of that contract,
yeah, he did.
But not after the first couple times. It was multiple attempts. And Ryan Garcia is still with Oscar.
And is a current world champion and looking at is on the precipice of humongous fights.
Yeah, the latest on that is it looks like Oscar told Mannix that Ryan Garcia has to fight on DAZN. That is going to be the biggest thing. And Zuffa is nothing but roadblocks. Zuffa is nothing but disruptors, which we knew. Something I said from day one. So if
that's great for DAZN.
Well, I'm just curious because Zuffa has yet to, like, what they... their fights have predominantly been on Paramount or Netflix. We have not seen a Zuffa card, not saying that this is a full Zuffa card, on Netflix. We've only seen them on either Paramount. No, sorry, on DAZN, I should say. I'm confusing the hell out of myself here.
You're confusing me too. So no, because they were on DAZN. They had the ring cards were on DAZN.
But that's like full. That's like Ring. I'm talking about like a Zuffa card.
Oh, a Zuffa card. Yeah.
But I don't know what we were looking at Conor Benn as, because with that little loophole, like if Ryan fights Conor Benn, I look at it as a ring card.
Yeah, 100%, and that's why
that could be on DAZN.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't see any. Unless
it's just blocking out Netflix. So that's the important part of what De La Hoya was saying there, because obviously Netflix, like Ryan, has got to be a big target for Netflix to try and get him on there because he is such a global star.
You think Netflix cares that much about Ryan Garcia or Conor Benn?
I don't think they care about Ryan Garcia versus Conor Benn. They care about Ryan Garcia.
Like getting in the Ryan Garcia business and like essentially 100%. Getting more of his fights?
Absolutely. Like, if you see the way that Netflix is moving, they're looking for the biggest names possible. Not the best guys in the sport. They don't want Bam. You know, they want names. They want Tyson Fury. They want AJ. They want Jake Paul. They want Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor. They want a Ryan Garcia.
Mm. Interesting. Let's get to the betting odds and predictions presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook are our official partners. So go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and let's make some money. I'm on a little bit of a hot streak. Was 2-for-2 with my UFC White House picks. Not even my main sport. I mean, who else out there picked Gaethje to beat?
That's like your fifth sport, dude. You got boxing, you got baseball, you got basketball. Like soccer and UFC may even be swapping. You're a pro Uruguay guy now. So
Canobio, Augustin Canobio. I have been finding. I find myself in the morning looking at what matches there are today in the World Cup.
World Cup is awesome. I love when
World I have
Cup
World
is
Cup a, fever. It's taken over. It took a few days, but I'm full. I was watching. It was kind of crappy out here yesterday, so I was inside all day. I was watching England versus Ghana. Did you catch
Ghana
that match?
Played their asses off, man. Yeah, of course it did. They played
teams
so
had
well.
Chances, man. Kane misses that wide open shot.
England. You can see the way they play. They're a better technical team, but Ghana played so physical.
Heart.
It frustrated England so much. Their gas tank was great. The end push to keep that rush coming because England was nonstop on their side of the field, just like completely going to full attack. That goalkeeper from Ghana.
But it's like Ghana boxers, like they have crazy engines.
Super durable, very super durable. Great engine.
Yeah,
and just fight with so much heart.
I was thinking of this was boxing. This is an English fighter, well, all the prestige and the hype versus the Ghana guy they bring in,
100%.
Who's just like ripped out of his mind and just can withhold anything and take on any punishment.
And one of the players even said, he's like, we're willing to die out there. Like that's Ghanaian boxers too, man. That's the way they fight.
I kind of want to check out a game, but I feel like it's too late. I'm not getting into. They're not even calling it MetLife Stadium because of the branding. They're calling it New York, New Jersey Stadium.
I probably should have flew to Arlington to watch Messi.
They play
break
right
the
in your backyard too in Miami.
Well, yeah, that too. But like, bro, the tickets are crazy.
Tickets are insane.
I travel so much for work.
Same.
It's just like Monday. I really should have. I should have did Monday. I should have flew to Arlington. It's a quick trip. Tickets were not that bad. It probably would have cost me like $10,000 all around.
All right. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot, but it's history. It's history, dude. It's Messi. Messi breaking the all-time scoring record.
Yeah, but you know he's not going to hold on for that for too long because I was also
Mbappe is unstoppable.
Bro, he
dude.
Has 15 goals and he's 28.
And he's played in like 16 World Cup games. Like he scores every single game. He's unstoppable. Unstoppable.
Really impressive to watch. I love the World Cup. I have World Cup fever. Keep an eye on Uruguay. Keep an eye on Canobio. He's a striker.
All eyes on Messi. All eyes on Messi.
Dude, you know what's another thing to round out our World Cup segment here is all the top names are like putting on a show. Like the World FIFA is flexing. They're peacocking right now. Like Ronaldo is scoring. Messi hat trick. Mbappe goals. Harry, who's the other major name that scored a bunch? The guy in Norway who looks
like a Viking. Yeah, that guy's awesome.
He's hanging out in Times Square. He's going to all the cool spots in New York City, and he's scoring multiple goals. So, like,
I love the pictures of him eating just giant hunks of meat. Like this
it's
guy.
Insane. So everything's been great so far. So in the World Cup, I won some money on FanDuel by betting $10 on Augustin Canobio to score. Wild.
You might have to name your first son Augustine. It's a good name.
It doesn't really look like a Kenobio, but we'll take him. Not that I... What is looking like a Kenobio? Is that looking like
me? You're just Italian. Yeah. But also, that's a lot of Uruguayans just look Italian.
I got to hit up this guy. FanDuel odds for Boots in Zayas. We talked about this for a while now. Ennis has ballooned up to a minus 480 favorite. I don't know if that's going to keep going higher. Depends on when they get on the scales. That's the only way I could see a shift in this line. But that's a pretty healthy line for Ennis, minus 480. Looking, closing in on close to 5-1 favorite, Jaron Ennis. Do you believe that's a little too wide?
I do. I do think that's a little too wide. I think I think they're overlooking certain aspects of this matchup. You know, there are things that Xander does that are in direct opposition to what Boots likes to deal with. Footwork, lateral movement. Boots is the critiques. You know, we've been talking so highly about Boots, and there's a lot of things to talk highly about. But there's also some negatives. His footwork is a bit slow. His closing the distance is not deceptive. His jab is not a punishing jab. He can, but he doesn't utilize it like that. He uses it to close the distance, to get inside, to exchange. He will just kind of trot in sometimes because he's not worried about what's coming back at him. He does get hit. All of those things play into exactly what Xander does really well. Xander moves, he hits you, he moves, he hits you, he moves, he hits you. It's how you fight a puncher. As he crosses that line, because he does have a height and reach advantage on almost everybody he fights, and he's quick enough. Well, Xander's not super fast, but he's quick enough, especially at that range, and he's smart enough to touch you and move. He also knows what he's not. He can get dragged into fights, but he really does understand. I'm not going to stay in the pocket and try to knock you out if you're not ready. He only gets stoppages when he knows a guy's hurt and beaten down, especially to the body. So his understanding of what he is and what he isn't is a really powerful thing that he has. Whereas Boots sometimes is just kind of like, just dog it about it. Just like, I'll get there. I'll get to you. So there's a lot of things that Xander does that could give Boots a lot of trouble, which is why I think that line's way too wide.
Yeah, minus 480. And it's by stoppage. Minus 135. A lot of high balls on that. Pretty good value there. If you believe that Ennis is who he is. Tim Bradley, did you see that clip? Was wearing all black because he said he's going to be a pallbearer.
No, I didn't see that.
He's like, I'm wearing all black. I'm going to be I'm a pallbearer. I hope I'm saying that right. I was like, is there any other way to say that word? And because Zayas is going to get killed. If you believe that, Ennis by stoppage at 135, pretty good value.
And Tim is a Xander fan, called his entire career.
Yeah, I don't know if Tim's like affiliated with Top Rank anymore. I don't think so.
Doesn't matter. He would down with this fighter for hours on end at this point.
Yes, but he would kind of lean, like, I don't know. I never heard him be that demonstrative. He's a little more independent. We could be seeing Tim Bradley on a major network soon. A little hint there. Ennis, decision, plus 250. That's a spicy number.
Yeah, wow. That's your number.
It's a juicy, spicy meet the ball. Ennis at decision. Zayas by decision, plus 490. Big number. Zayas by knockout, I didn't even bother. I think it's like minus.
No, plus.
It's a huge number. Plus 900.
Yeah, I was gonna say plus 1,000, that's gonna be big. There's gonna be a lot of money coming in from fans for that plus money on a Xander decision, a lot.
You think that's going to be the movement we're going to see?
I think so. I think
Zayas by knockout is plus 1,100. It's gone up.
Yeah, that's about right.
It's 950 yesterday.
There will be a late push on Xander just because of the dogged Puerto Rican fans that are going to be rushing into. I mean, they're in New York mostly, so that are rushing into Brooklyn, I should say. Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of late money on Xander. And you made a great point about we're going to see, there's going to be a shift, maybe a tectonic shift at the weigh-in to see how.
I know. I wish we could do these shows Friday after the weigh-in.
How these guys would look, yeah.
But we just don't. So that's a major factor. That's a major, major factor. Shows coming out on Thursday, especially with these guys. Like, Zayas is a big guy. Boots has always had problems. Not problems making the weight, just he's had a lot of issues in terms of getting to that weight and everything there. So that's nothing to keep an eye on. The Emiliano Vargas minus 1450 over Bryce Mills, Shahai Tucker pretty close one there. Jahi Tucker versus Yuri Cedeno, minus 182 for Tucker. Those are some pretty close lines. The fight that I also want to really highlight here is Ben Whitaker making his U.S. debut against Richie Popeye the Sailor Man Rivera. And the money line is huge here. Like, I expect Whitaker to win. He's minus 1,800. Whitaker on points is what I'm looking at.
Yes.
It's a 10-round fight.
I think this goes the distance.
Right? Like, yeah. I was hitting up some people yesterday that are really in the know. Like, I've never really seen Richie Rivera, like, hurt in a fight. I've really never seen him, like, completely out of a fight. The only
He's fought a world-class fighters at cruiserweight. He jumped up two weight classes to go fight there and then came back down. Like, he's a big guy.
The only thing is that he hasn't fought in 15 months. His last fight was January 2025, Roger Guerrero.
Do we know how much notice he got for this fight?
I know this has been announced for a while.
Has it?
Yeah. I would say a solid. He's had a camp. Like, this isn't like a month. This has been announced. 10 rounds, too, which it's not 12.
Mm-hmm. And Richie's been rounds. He's got more, way more experience.
Whitaker, jury's still out on this guy. I'm not 100% sold, or he would have been moved way faster. I like the points. I like Whitaker to win. I don't get me wrong. Ben Whitaker will win this fight. Will it go the distance is the thing. And if you can parlay Ennis by decision, plus 250, Whitaker by decision, plus
1825. Whoa. You could almost afford a FIFA World Cup ticket with that.
I think I'm going to make that bet and then head right to New York, New Jersey Arena for the championship game, July 19th. That's the bet. That's the bet for me.
That's a juicy number. Juicy number. If you don't I agree with you. I think I don't bet enough, man. I'm a sniper. I jump in, I jump out. I see something I like because it's got good value. I take it. I've got a high precision rate, but yeah, I'm not a smart gambler.
You know the sport, and I mean, use your odds. It's like Ennis decision. That's pretty good pick. Plus 250. It's great value. All the things we just said, Whitaker maybe isn't the truth. Coming over for the first time, a lot of pressure.
Rivera. No, I like where your head's at. I do. Yeah. I really do. And
the thing, too, is like we just get a ref that could stop it early. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Well, that's another reason I don't like betting on boxing, because you've got bad decisions. You've got refs that can cause an issue.
That makes it fun.
You've got DQs where everything gets thrown out. It's like, ugh. You know, like
methods draws. Of victory. Yeah, it's wild.
It's wild.
But if you are going to bet, please do it with FanDuel Sportsbook.
That's why I like betting on like things like how you bet on the Uruguayan, like because of the name. You're like, yeah, it's like,
well, you can do that. There's all different types of gamblers out there.
Or just being a total fanatic, like because that's what we're fans of boxing. We're not fanatics. We're not like the people who are ride or die no matter what. So like, but like I am for like if I'm watching the Knicks, like I'm like, yeah, no, Knicks are going to win. Even though I have no idea, I don't know. They might lose, but like I don't know it enough. I'm not that involved. I'm just a fanatic of the Knicks. Same thing with like Argentina. Like when Argentina plays the Messi, I'm like, no, Argentina's going to win. Meanwhile, I mean, they might not. This is World Cup knockout. You know, you never know. So,
yes, that's
we don't bet like fanatics.
That's my parlay. I like the individual bets. Great value individually. If you want to parlay, that is at +1825 for Whitaker. And Boots decision. All right, it's time for Chris's categories. Zayas versus Boots. Power, speed, defense, ring, IQ. We start with power.
Boots Ennis, no question. Even though this is only his second fight at 154, Boots just has crunching power. I mean, he blew out that guy that he fought in the first round, you know, the first fight of 54. But regardless of that, just stylistically, you can see he's got heavy hands. There's no question about the power. And Zayas, I don't think there's any question about his power either, that he's not a puncher. He's not a single puncher. He's a combination guy. He's a jabber guy. He's a mover. He's got respectable power, especially to the body. But I think Boots has got him there too. I think Boots is a better body puncher as well. He's just a heavier handed guy. And because of the dynamic way he throws, it makes him that much more dangerous as a puncher.
Speed.
Boots again. I think in terms of foot speed, Boots, I would go towards Xander. But if you're in the pocket and Boots, once he's set, because he's got such good balance, his hand speed is very good. It's very short, very tight. The moves that he makes with his upper body movement, his head movement, his hand speed, I think that overtakes Xander in terms of his, you know, foot speed from the outside, because he does have faster feet, but Boots is not really known for that. So speed, I'm also going Boots.
Defense.
Defense. What did I write for this one?
I wrote
Zayas. But yeah, we talked about this. We went by the numbers. He does not have to engage and not have to get hit as much because he can fight from the outside and he chooses to fight that. So stylistically, his defense is better. But he still gets hit. And that's something that, to be concerned about in this fight. But Boots is willing to get hit. Boots does get hit. Even when, you know, Boots doesn't need to get hit, he gets hit. So for me, I can't pick him to have a better defense. And in terms of chin, both these guys have good chins. And they're really seeing either one of them really hurt. But if I was going chin, I'd probably lean a little more towards Boots. Really haven't seen him, you know, with any kind of damage. But yeah, in terms of defense, I'm going Xander Zayas because of the style.
Finally, we got the ring IQ.
I'm going to go even because of their styles. They're so different. Boots' IQ on the inside is so high. His ability to find holes, find openings, land, and consistently pressure guys and find holes in guys' defense because of his dynamic offense and his ability to win prolonged exchanges and win them big. I mean, you got to have a good IQ to make those snap decisions. Because that's why I say IQ is about decision making. But then from the outside, Xander makes really good decisions as well. He chooses to fight in a way that aids him the best. The way that he sets up his combinations and continues to slip slide. And his hand position, if he didn't have that right hand pinned on his ear, Barao would have probably knocked him out. Because there were so many shots coming that Xander just caught. So having the fundamentals that Xander has, the hand position, the footwork, the in and out, the ability to step around guys, very, very high IQ as well. Both these guys, high amateur pedigrees as well. Xander was like a multi-time international champion by the age of like 14. The kid's been boxing very, very long time. So they're going to be matching wits IQ-wise, but I don't think this fight's going to come down to IQ, tell you the truth.
What do you think it's going to come down to? Grit?
I think it's going to come down to certain intangibles. Certain intangibles.
All right. Prediction time. Zayas versus Boots. I will start it off. I think the first four or five rounds, Zayas might have a four-round lead. I think he's going to be moving beautifully. I think he's going to be in and out, in and out, in and out. But he's going to get tired. And Boots is going to take over. And Boots is going to hurt Zayas down the stretch. But it won't be a knockout, won't be a stoppage. It will be a Boots decision, and you can get that at plus 250 right now. Boots Ennis becomes unified champion at 154. He is who we think he is. Boots in the gym is now Boots in the ring under the big lights. They take that, everyone.
So you're thinking like an 8-4. You got Xander coming out early. Maybe he picks up three out of the first four. Yeah. Then he wins maybe one of the, you know, a last bastion effort in the fifth or the sixth, and then it's all Boots down the stretch. You know, or maybe not even 8-4. Maybe there's some knockdowns in there or something like that. But the Boots
rounds would be demonstrative wins towards the end. Like right. Clear-cut Boots wins where the first one, the nip and tuck.
All right. You're going safe. You're going safe on that call. It's a good call, though. I could see it. So remember I said that this fight's going to come down to certain intangibles? The intangible, well, there's two. Can Boots touch Xander early? That's number one. Number two, if he does Xander take it? That's the biggest question. If Boots is able to hurt Xander early, Xander's a dog. He's going to fight. If he gets clipped, he's going to stand and fight. And the fight could be early. That's one of the things about this matchup, because he's got these two guys who are so different, but also very dynamic, both of them in different ways. It can go so many ways. Now, Xander has thrown a fantastic chin. He's got hit with shot. I cannot unsee Barao landing right hands over and over and over again in the first five rounds of that fight and coming on strong down the stretch. Zayas wore them all well. But now you add in the body shots. Now you add in the making the weight, which I think actually does affect Xander and his output. So if Boots doesn't get him early, I think he gets him late. And I think, like you said about Xander down the stretch, and I agree. I think Xander early on, I don't think Xander's going to get hurt early. I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to be smart enough to stay on the outside. He's going to tuck his Puerto Rican balls in and be like, nope, I'm going to box smart. I'm going to make you fight my fight. I'm going to be a tactician out there. I am going to be a ring general. I am going to be a master boxer. And I think he's going to give Boots a lot of issues early on while Boots is trying to figure out a way to get inside that long reach. But as things start to slow and get a little more gritty, we go down the stretch. And like you said, Boots may hurt him late. He's probably going to hurt him late. I think Boots is a great finisher. And I think the weight's going to be an issue. I think Boots' power is going to be an issue. So I'm thinking that we do get a stoppage.
Wow.
At some point.
Wow. Boots stoppage late from Algeria. I'm picking Boots by decision. Algeria's picking Boots by stoppage. This is a pro Boots podcast.
Now, listen, I'm a pro fighter podcast. And I've said this, you know, like I love Xander. I think it's just, I think Boots is the guy. I think Boots is that guy. All the respect in the world to Xander for taking this fight and putting it all on the line, putting his belts on the line, putting his undefeated record on the line. He didn't need to take this fight.
No.
He made this fight. But I think it's just one of those things. Yeah, he's 23 and all the way things match up. I don't know, man. I think it's Boots' time.
I like that if Boots can get to him early, like Zayas might be forced into like a little bit more of a firefight than he wanted early. And then that's where the line is where it's at.
Barao clipped him in the first round multiple times with the right hand.
Bro, that's why the line is where it is. It's at. That's why it's decision is plus 250.
Like, I was watching these guys fight right before I got on here and I'm like, oh man. I'm like, yeah, Boots is there's a direct path to victory for him.
If Boots stops Zayas, then yeah, he's going to be anointed. And because that's demonstrative. That's leave no doubt.
Anyway, he stops him, whether it's early, late, mid, whatever. That was ridiculous the way he
dominated. Right, the way he did it. But like, obviously, Stanionis was coming off of a long layoff and all that, if you don't really rate him. But he just didn't leave a doubt. That's why, you know, that's what when Boots is downhill, and if he goes downhill on Zayas and he wipes him out.
But the issue with that fight is Stanionis was similar to what I was saying about Barao. He's a come-forward destruction guy. You're not going to come forward and destroy Boots. You're playing right into his game. Boots is going to have to find Xander. Unless he can trick Xander into a firefight early, unless the crowd get into his head and he has to make a statement because of all the talk, because of the line. Because that's all factors, too. You never know what's going on in a fighter's mind. It's like, I'm gonna show everybody. I don't think this is the guy to do that. But listen, this is why we fight the fights, right?
Yeah, it's a great fight.
I'm excited. I'm excited about the fight.
Yeah. Regardless. Come out to our fight party at McMahon's Public House beforehand. Should be a great night. Quick things real quick before we say goodbye. Quick. Albert Bell replaces Joe Cardina versus Abdullah Mason. We will talk about this way more next week. Bell was scheduled to fight Andy Cruz on July 18th in an IBF Eliminator.
Which was also a good fight.
This is great. Arguably, this is a better fight than Cardina. Cardina had visa issues, which is insane to me. This fight's been announced for a while. But Bell, 34 years old, gets his shot. Hometown guy fighting in Ohio against the upcoming hometown guy in Mason. This is a good fight.
It's a totally different fight, too. Joe Cardina is a short, compact guy. More of a puncher, but not a puncher. Bicycle puncher, more boxer puncher. Albert Bell, he's like 6 feet tall. He boxes from the outside. And I've been watching. So I called a lot of his fights on the undercards of Top Rank cards. And I've seen him, you know, he's with other promotions now. And I've seen him develop really, really well. He's a very well-rounded fighter at this point. He was much more of just kind of like a box and stay away kind of guy. Now he actually puts some mustard on those shots. So this is a tough style for Abdullah Mason. And he's got to figure this guy out.
For accepting this.
Oh, Mason's such a stud. He's exactly what a champion should be.
DAZN, I feel like, put pressure. I don't know this for sure. I'm just assuming here that, all right, we don't want just like some replacement. This is on TNT. This is TNT's first foray into boxing. Let's get a name that fans somewhat know. Like, let's get a name, a worthy opponent. And Albert Bell is that. So all around, good job. Because this could have easily been a late replacement type of deal, and that wouldn't have been good. Teofimo Lopez and Rolly Romero have a verbal agreement. They've called each other up and said, we should fight. Okay, let's fight. August, they're looking at in Vegas for Rolly's WBA title.
Love the fight. I don't know what a verbal agreement means. It means next to nothing in this sport.
They shouted at each other from across the street. Yo, you want to fight?
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's essentially what Twitter is. And, you know, we've seen a lot of that go back and forth with guys. And Rolly's been in a lot of these that just fights don't materialize. Because, listen, guys, fights get made in boardrooms. They get made with, you know, under the table. They get made when they're signing contracts. I would love to be like, oh, no, we got guys who do it on Twitter. Like, yes, the famous Errol Spence, Terrence Crawford phone call where they made the fight.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was very cool. And they're
what about
they're
the famous Pacquiao Mayweather running at the Clippers basketball game?
Before the first one?
Yeah. Well, they didn't only fought once.
Well, I mean, I thought maybe that's how they.
I don't know if the fight was made then, but it kicked it off. I think then after the fight, they had a meeting.
That level of guy, Spence and Crawford is a level. Yeah. Pacquiao and Mayweather is a level. They're both like you're in the same stratosphere. And the stratosphere is above everybody. And no knock on Rolly or Teofimo. I think they're both excellent, excellent fighters. They're not on that tier.
No.
Not yet, and probably never will be. But it's a good fight. Stylistically, it's a fun fight.
Aren't they friends?
What does that mean in the sport of boxing?
I don't even know. They wouldn't fight years ago because they were friends. Answer me this. What means more? What holds more weight? A handshake agreement or a verbal agreement?
Oh, geez.
You got my balls and my word. You got my word or you got my handshake? Like, you shake hands.
And I don't break either for anybody. I mean, handshake, obviously.
Handshake, that's solidifying a deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Verbal is nothing.
So they have a verbal. Yeah, which is nothing.
I think next we're going to
report. But in boxing, the only thing that matters is a written agreement. Is ink on paper, dried. That's what matters. I think
Lance Pugmire's next headline will be handshake deal.
Okay, and then the next week it's going to be written
pen on
deal.
Paper.
Yeah,
announcement,
or it's going to be fight blown up.
Announcement, and then or fight blown up. I mean, there are so many fights happening on Twitter, I can't even keep track. Apparently there's a tank.
I stopped paying attention because it's every week. It's just like, oh, let's just pump this out. I feel like it's all manufactured at this point.
I feel like Tank. I didn't even know that Tank had a burner. Count that people are just like saying it's 100% him. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, a lot of that going on. Liam Pauro defeated Lewis Crocker this morning in Australia to
like
win the IBF welterweight title. Liam Pauro is now a two-division world champ. He becomes the first Australian to do that since Jeff Fenech.
Fenech.
Sorry, Jeff. That's bad.
That's awesome. I like Liam Pauro. I like him a lot. I watched the first two rounds before I actually missed the fight this morning. I was out for a run. Completely forgot that it was Australia time where it was going to be early in the morning. But I did watch the first couple of rounds. I really like Liam Pauro. He's super undersized for welterweight. Crocker looked humongous next to him. But he was boxing well. He was holding his ground well. I saw his face was battered toward the end. I saw some comments saying like, oh, it was a robbery. You know, he didn't do anything, like this and that. I don't know. The first couple rounds, I saw him doing a whole lot. But Crocker just kind of coming forward, hands high, getting clipped here and there, but heavy-handed. Everything he landed looked like it shook Liam and left a mark. But good for Liam Pauro. I think he's a very good quality guy. I just don't know what he can really do at 47. And again, what they were saying afterwards is probably going to end up in a rematch, and they probably had it already in the contract. But
yeah,
Did fight it at home. That's pretty cool. We fought at home, made history, joined Jeff Fenech. That's rarefied air. So hats off to Liam Pauro. Nice job there, sir.
I feel like the IBF welterweight title is on its own little island, literally, Australia. But like, no one is really talking
about
Crocker. Or
the UK, right? Because Crocker, right. Is Crocker British?
Yeah.
He's not Irish, right?
No, he's British.
Yeah, so two islands.
Two islands. But like the IBF island where no one wants to do that rehydration clause. Like no one ever brought up Crocker's name between like Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, not Teofimo going 147, Rolly. They're in their own little world. Like I see like Catterall calling out Pauro. Like it's almost like a European belt that like you guys just have it over there.
All those guys you mentioned though, like Teofimo, Liam Pauro, and Catterall are all small welterweights. That rehydration clause isn't going to affect them like it is the other guys.
But like, why Devin is Haney, it like, do you think
Devin Haney's never going to fight for
Am I
that?
Exaggerating with the
No, 100%. If you look at the top dogs at welterweight, Devin Haney's not fighting for the IBF. Ryan Garcia, he's big, but I feel like he could probably manage it. But like, I don't know if he wants to. Conor Benn definitely is not doing that. Yeah, I'm surprised Crocker did. Crocker's a big welterweight. So
he doesn't have a choice, really, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like a Jack Catterall, man, he looks like he doesn't even cut weight for 47. He's a smaller guy. Liam Parro, he's not a big welterweight either.
Good win for Parro. Two-division world champ. Can't take that from him. You know, had that Matias win, too. Nice little career for this guy.
He had a tough showing with Hitchens, too. He came on strong at the end of that fight. Yeah, he got boxed up in the beginning, but then he really came on later on. That's what I like about Parro too. He's got different styles. Like he had to stalk Hitchens because he couldn't outbox him, and then he fought Crocker. Crocker totally boxed. Like tried to disengage as much as possible.
There it is, everybody. We will see you Saturday night, McMahon's Public House, 5 o'clock. Our pre-fight party. We head over to Barclays. You can stick around and watch the fight at the bar. You can do whatever you want, but make sure to join us. Next time I see you, Chris, we'll be in 3D.
Well, not whatever you want. We got some rules.
A little bit. I don't enforce the rules of McMahon's.
Do not touch the hair or face.
You guys can come, handshakes, fist bumps.
Fist bumps.
No touching of the face.
Yeah, handshakes, selfies, all that. It's all good. We love our listeners.
It's going to be a great time. It's going to be an awesome weekend of fights. Our next show will be Sunday morning or Monday, breaking it all down. You'll see us on Saturday in some capacity. Have a great weekend, everyone. Travel safe. If you're coming to Brooklyn, Chris, get on that airplane. See you soon. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.